Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Portions of Contra Costa and Santa Clara counties have been placed under quarantine for the oriental fruit fly following the detection of multiple flies in each county. In Contra Costa County, detections near the cities of Brentwood and Oakley have resulted in a quarantine zone covering 99 square miles, bordered on the north by the San Joaquin River, on the south by Marsh Creek State Park, on the west by Black Diamond Mines Regional Preserve, and on the east side by the Old River. In Santa Clara County, detections in the cities of Santa Clara and Sunnyvale have resulted in a quarantine zone covering 112 square miles, bordered on the north by Coyote Creek, on the south by Saratoga, on the west by Mountain View, and on the east by Alum Rock. A link to the quarantine maps can be found on the California Department of Food and Agriculture website. The California Department of Food and Agriculture's Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation has announced more than $106 million in grants to 23 organizations to work with producers to design and implement carbon sequestration and irrigation efficiency projects through the Healthy Soils Block Grant Pilot and State Water Efficiency and Enhancement Program Block Grant Pilot Programs. CDFA has administered the HSP and SWEEP since 2015, accepting applications and providing grants directly to producers for projects on their farms. Both programs are popular with producers and have an important role in the state's climate change and water resilience strategies. Under these new block grant programs, qualified organizations in California can apply for state funding and then disperse funds to eligible farmers or agricultural operations for on-farm projects. Additionally, awarded organizations provide technical assistance to implement on-farm projects or will partner with technical assistance providers to provide support. Producers interested in receiving technical or financial assistance for a soil health or irrigation efficiency project can review block grant organizations on the CDFA website. Under the Healthy Soils Block Grant Pilot Program, there are 14 awards totaling $62 million. And under the SWEEP Block Grant Pilot Program, there's 9 awards totaling $42.5 million. CDFA will open traditional direct-to-producer HSP and SWEEP application periods late in 2023. The California Citrus Quality Council will hold its annual citrus preseason export meetings on Thursday, September 21st at the Visalia Convention Center. The meetings will provide an overview of the requirements and changes for major export markets for the 2023-2024 season. The day will begin at 9:30 a.m. with a session on requirements for Korea, China, Thailand, and Vietnam. The afternoon session begins at 1:30 p.m. and will focus on Australia and New Zealand. All citrus exporters are highly encouraged to attend. For more information, contact California Citrus Mutual. According to the Union of Farmers and Livestock Unions, almond imports from the United States are gaining more and more ground, damaging local Spanish productions. The union stressed that the trade balance of the product continues to show a trend of increasing imports from the U.S. And according to Data Comex, in the latest semester of this year, Spain imported 47,000 tons of almonds and grain worth more than 173 million euro. This is 80% of all their country's almond imports, which are estimated at around 60,000 tons in the first half of this year, according to the union. Spain is the second largest producer of almonds, so it's striking that there's almost a 15,000-ton almond import gap in the exports-imports balance by volume. On the other hand, the ministry calculates that with the agreement with China, Spain could export about 50,000 tons of almonds to this country by the year 2025 and about 90,000 tons later. However, according to the union, this agreement leaves traditional producers in the ditch and will convert Spain into a platform to circulate American almonds to China. The organization emphasized that the low prices, the intentional or unintentional 121,000-ton harvest forecast, and the notable imports from California reveal that this is the strategy of the marketing companies, a strategy that maintains or leads to the general decrease of the product's price in the different auctions. Almond marketers continue to import huge quantities of almonds from the United States and stop betting on the local product, which has very good quality, ignoring the specific weight of the sector in the social and economic fabric and large areas of the territory with no other agronomic alternative. In this context, the average prices are not high enough to cover the continuously rising production costs, especially in traditional cultivation areas. As Demare reaches the halfway point in its 95th year of business, Tom Demare has announced that Jeff Dolan will serve as president of DMB Packing. In this role, Dolan will play an expanded leadership role in the family business. Previously, he held the position of field operations manager. In the new role, he will oversee all operations regarding the growing, packing, and shipping of fresh market tomatoes in California. Citos Group has announced the launch of its groundbreaking slow pyrolysis biochar manufacturing facility in Monterey. Pioneering a highly efficient technology, SG desires to support wineries and grape growers in adopting regenerative and sustainable farming practices through biochar application in their vineyards, according to the company. Citos Group was co-founded by Steve McIntyre, owner of Monterey Pacific Incorporated, which manages 17,500 acres of vineyards in Monterey and San Luis Obispo counties, and Mayo Ryan, a seasoned agriculturalist with extensive leadership experience in large agribusiness firms. Biochar is a charcoal-like substance created by transforming organic matter into carbon-rich material through a controlled process known as slow pyrolysis. This process involves treating organic matter at a very high temperature in a low oxygen environment to yield premium-grade biochar. The biochar created through this specific process is typically comprised of 80% pure fixed carbon built to last in the soil for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Due to the high carbon content of the biochar, it does not release methane nor CO2 into the atmosphere through natural decomposition. Instead, it remains sequestered in the soil, making it an exceptional soil amendment and carbon sink. The application of biochar as a soil amendment enhances moisture retention, promotes soil health, boosts crop yields, and contributes to efficient means of carbon sequestration. A comprehensive 3-year field trial led by Dr. Doug Beck at MPI's Oasis Vineyard in Monterey County demonstrated that the combined use of biochar and compost delivered superior results in terms of improved soil health, water conservation, fruit quality, and crop yields.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
At the request of the California Citrus Quality Council, USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, has approved a new sampling protocol that growers can use to reduce pesticide applications for control of Fuller rose beetle in their groves, a quarantine pest in South Korea. Populations of Fuller rose beetle are generally pretty low these days, but treatments are still being required for any grower that's sending their product to South Korea. The Citrus Quality Council believes it's not a good IPM practice to spray for insects that will likely not be found in a grove.
Most people that are managing groves can hardly find Fuller rose beetle. So on the first point, we thought that we deserved, that the industry deserved, you know, another option so that in these areas where there's very low populations, that we could try something different and see if we can provide a little bit of relief to the industry, because as you're aware, These types of treatments are not cheap, and anything that we can do to help the industry shave, you know, a few dollars off the cost of production per acre, that's the direction we're trying to go. So those were some important considerations. But also, we've heard that certain pesticide applications have been triggering the presence of secondary pests like mealybug that have been really on the rise over the last few years. So we thought that this could possibly go, you know, in the direction of getting more balance back in our IPM programs and more balance in the grove, being able to utilize biological control predatory insects that are currently under stress probably from these additional pesticide applications. So all those things considered, we thought that, you know, it would make sense for us to make this request of AAVIS.
That was Jim Cranny, head of the California Citrus Quality Council. Important to note is this newly approved sampling protocol is only voluntary, and growers are free to continue any foliar rose beetle integrated pest management they may already have. If a grower chooses to participate, though, Cranny outlined what is now being suggested by experts.
After consultation with Sandeepa Gautam and with Beth Graft and Cardwell, they determined that it was probably the first application that would be, you know, best to eliminate, not the second one. So we were looking for different ways we could do that. And one of the major considerations in setting up the protocol was, you know, how effective it was going to be in still controlling the pest, but at the same time, not having any additional interceptions on Fido inspections, because we're shipping to the largest orange market that the industry has. It's super critical market. We don't want to take any measure that is going to jeopardize that market or put it in any type of danger. So, as I said, a major consideration here was trying to come up with some relief for the industry, but at the same time, not trigger, you know, a ton of outbreaks of interceptions that could end up shooting us in the foot. So we started out this protocol with the idea that in future years, we'll be able to modify it. So one of the main points that we're trying to communicate is that this is not the final version, I don't think, of where we're going to end up over a period of time. But we have to start someplace. And another important consideration is we want this to be based on data. So everything that we do with modifying the program will have a related check in terms of data on the phytosanitary side. So APHIS and the counties are going to be monitoring for rose beetle on the sampling side for phyto inspections. So if at the end of the year, we're going to be able to have a data set that will tell us if we've still been successful in controlling forward rose beetle, or whether maybe the rate of interceptions has gone up by virtue of the fact that we've reduced, you know, an application. We're just going to have to wait and see how it goes. But as I said, this is a starting point. So we're asking the industry to conduct a sample of their groves where they inspect 72 trees, look for foliar rose beetle, and if they find no more than two foliar rose beetle, then they can eliminate the first application. They still have to make the second application that we would expect them to do by no later than the end of October. But still, you could eliminate the first one and then just conduct the second one before the end of October.
To reiterate, the new protocols are expected to help the citrus industry by reducing pesticide use, thereby reducing grower costs, to manage fuller rose beetle, improve biological control in citrus groves by preserving beneficial insects, and staying in line with the state's push for the ag industry to adopt more sustainable production practices and align the industry with the California Department of Pesticide Regulations Sustainable Pest Management Roadmap.
Obviously, we're doing this because there's a lot of self-interest here on the part of the industry. But at the same time, I think many people in industry have heard about California's Department of Pesticide Regulation, their Sustainable Pest Management Plan, where they're expecting to eliminate a number of pesticides by the year 2050, I believe it is. So there is an overall emphasis on minimizing the amount of pesticides used in California agriculture and moving into more of a biologically based pest management system. So this is the major focus that we're seeing now from DPR. So I think that this offers an opportunity for the industry to be able to communicate with DPR and for us to at least send a message that we're all trying to pull in the same direction. So it just so happens that, you know, this is something that is obviously beneficial to the industry. It's in our self-interest to do this, but at the same time, it is also very consistent with the direction that the state of California would like to go in terms of pesticide application. So any time that we feel like we can declare victory and have similar and consistent goals with the people that are regulating our industry, it can only help us in the long run.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Citrus greening has had an incredibly negative effect on citrus groves in Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and around the world. The disease has spread through the Asian citrus psyllid, which inserts a bacteria into the tree, slowly killing it. While a cure for the disease may still be several years off, two new treatments using two different delivery methods are now giving growers more options to help defend their groves from the worst of the disease. In Florida, where citrus greening has shrunk the orange and grapefruit yields by more than half, the Department of Agriculture and Community Services has approved a new treatment from Massachusetts-based Invio. The company's citrus health solution suppresses the bacteria present in the infected tree, and it has shown a yield increase of 30% after one application. The trademarked TreeSice application method means that growers are able to use far less of the solution than a traditional pesticide. Initial testing of citrus health shows promising results. At the federal level, new research is also showing promising results. Last month, researchers from the USDA's Agricultural Research Service announced the development of a new way to strengthen a tree's immunity to the disease, employing agrobacteria. The USDA is awarding approximately $6.5 million to 22 organizations to educate underserved small-scale and organic producers on on-farm risk management and climate-smart farm practices. The funding from the Risk Management Agency provides assistance through its risk management education partnerships for organizations like nonprofits and land-grant universities. This funding and these partnerships are integral to their outreach efforts in communities that historically have not had access to training about risk management options. That, according to RMA Administrator Marsha Bunger. As a farmer, she knows firsthand that agriculture is a risky business. She also says because of that risk, the agency is determined to work with growers to provide them with the training and resources about risk management options and how to apply them to their farming businesses. RMA first advertised the available funds in January And this year's recipients include nonprofits, historically black colleges, and university extensions, among others. The National Association of State Departments of Agriculture set policy priorities for the upcoming year during its annual meeting recently. NASDA will advocate to give the USDA more authority to be flexible in serving farmers and ranchers who often face challenges in seeking disaster assistance. NASDA members also want existing gaps in insurance coverage and federal disaster relief programs closed to protect farmers from an increasing number of natural disasters. Members will also advocate for standards that ensure clear and consistent labeling for cell-based meat products, also referred to as cultured meat. During the meeting, NASDA also adopted a new policy of supporting laws that protect farmers' right to farm. The new policy advocates for protecting agriculture and forestry operations from nuisance lawsuits. NASDA members also amended the organization's policy to support increased investment in apprenticeships and educational programming because of a tremendous need for workers with training in specialized agricultural fields. Many communities don't have trees in forested areas for their residents, but there is a major effort to change that. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says in talking about efforts to bring high-speed internet to everyone,
no community should be left behind.
But this time he's talking about another effort
to expand investment in urban and community forestry.
Vilsack was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa Thursday to announce a $1 billion investment for 385 projects to plant trees and increase access to green space for millions of Americans who don't have that access. Vilsack told reporters with programs like this,
we believe that we can create more resilient communities in terms of the impacts of climate. We think we can mitigate extreme heat incidences and events in many of the cities where projects and awards will be made.
Vilsack said tree canopies have been shown to reduce average temperatures by up to 19 degrees, saving energy costs for residents. He said most of the projects will be in underserved communities where residents have little or no access to green space. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The U.S. Justice Department, on behalf of the Environmental Protection Agency, resolved longstanding litigation covering over 1,000 pesticide products. The resolution allows EPA to fulfill its obligations to protect endangered species while conducting reviews and approvals of pesticides in a safe and protective manner. In 2011, a lawsuit was filed against EPA alleging it violated the Endangered Species Act when it registered or reevaluated the registration of 382 pesticide active ingredients. A settlement entered in a federal court resolves all outstanding claims. The agreement is a win-win to protect endangered species, ensure the availability of pesticides needed to grow food across America, and save considerable time and taxpayer expenses further required to litigate this case. That according to Michael Friedhoff of the EPA. The settlement allows EPA time to fulfill its obligations under the ESA and adopt key elements from the agency's 2022 ESA work plan, which has a wide range of stakeholders' support.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.